Chapter 1. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:13-16.
It is an undeniable fact that when people look for spiritual or physical liberation, reproaching world and mankind because of the boundless degeneration of life, they always point in their fierce criticism at weak points and sinful behavior outside themselves. You saddle your enemies with everything that is bad, inferior, and brutal, and no one can say that your criticism and judgment are wrong. Almost all criticism is based on a certain amount of truth. The burden of an unworthy blood state is so great, human shortcomings so formidable, the misdeeds committed by individuals or groups so eye-catching that nearly every criticism must be said to be on the mark. Although we state beforehand, in order to prevent any misunderstanding, that perfect justice must triumph and be carried out, it is nevertheless questionable whether the common method of criticism is the correct way of revealing the basic flaws of human existence. This method always seeks and observes the fault in things outside itself. It is hardly ever considered whether man, by virtue of his degenerate being, is capable of objective criticism, whether he is able to observe and judge impartially. If we were to consider these things seriously, we would discover that the universal doctrine teaches that every person can see his fellow men and the things and values around him only through his own aural sphere. Yet this sphere is not pure and transparent, but colored and distorted by our blood being, by our state of being. Moreover, we would find that the eye always acts on the assumption that it is right. It has the idea that it is being attacked, that it observes and acts correctly, and must therefore be revered and recognized. The eye acts out of the delusion of kingship and consequently finds itself under attack, for delusions are unreal. The result is self-maintenance. Who is attacking me? Who is threatening my kingship? Who is attacking my state of being? Who is pushing me off the throne of my carefully established standard of living so that I'm hungry and lack clothing, fuel and light, so that I lack everything? My hatred, bloodthirst, and uncontrollable fury go out to the offender who has done all this to me out of his eye delusion, out of his dream of kingship. Can anything be worse than this experience for King I, with his modernized home, his radio and television, his slippers, his easy chair and warm fire, his 4-week annual leave to the Costa Brava, and his superannuation? Isn't it high time, supposing that justice must conquer, that you kept silent about your alleged enemies and realize that at the present time we are experiencing a crisis of eye delusion, that we are thrown out of our easy chairs, that our standard of life has been broken up because the cup is full? Hasn't the time arrived that you are driven back into your own self through all this bitterness? If you must spit your fiery criticism, you should direct your vitriol at yourself. Expose your nakedness to the light and see the bones of your miserableness stick out in all directions. The bones rattle and the joints crack. Now perhaps you feel indignant. The author ridicules death and confusion, you may think, but it is our task to awaken you and to keep you awake. The sword of truth must be planted in your soul. We do not ridicule, but drive the sword of truth through the carcass of your eye delusion. When you lay the suffering, are we the leaven? Will you work with us? Will you build, from below upwards, a completely new man, a new work, expressed in a scientifically applied self-renewal. That is the task. If you suppose yourself to belong to the pioneers of the human race, if you think yourself to be Christian, if you know what it means to approach the mystery school, then the words spoken on the mountain are spoken to you also. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. Indeed, if those who approach the spiritual school by their own decision, driven by the spiritual urge of remembrance, stop at everyday happenings and do not want to take up the task of head, heart, and hands in the way they need to be taken up, who will? You are the light of the world. A new birth is always gained from night, grief, and chaos. In our songs we sing, "After the night, the morning will come. See, the sun is ascending." Therefore the conscious man, the thinking man, must live as in the hour of birth. He is of the morning land. If you are as yet unable to experience the new birth, you have to descend into night, grief, and chaos. The salt that loses its taste is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You might think or say, "I will join in when the new morning comes. Just look and you will see." When the first cry of the new birth vibrates through the air, will sing in that choir and make my shouts of joy resound. Yes, that's what I'll do. Do understand the secret of the new birth, the deep meaning of things. Can there be birth without creation, without conception? You suffer from the same defect as men of all times did. Present-day religious man is seeking help from outside. God must help through his Son. Is he not called the light of the world? But the Sermon on the Mount testifies emphatically, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." You are the light of the world, that is, if you are a pioneer, if you have the right to be in the spiritual school, if you are aware of being a Christian. You are the light of the world. Does the light need to wait for the morning? Must the light wait for the light? The light must shine until the morning comes. The city on the hill must show its presence to the world. Through the light of the world, and that is you, your spiritual goodwill must radiate through night, grief, and death into the wide distances. That is the conception of the new birth, the light that shines in the darkness. Now you need to prove who you are. Spiritual starveling, a parasite, or a child of man, reborn in God, a light of the world. This is what you are called to, not later, but now, not now, but even years ago. This is why the Sermon on the Mount continues accordingly. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If these words were to be fulfilled, one would no longer discuss whether God exists or which church or dogma would be the right one. Then all petty-minded talking would cease and people would laugh away the learned theological waffle of today. Then God would be proved by your light radiation and man would experience God revealed in the flesh. Thousands of hours of prayer have been conducted throughout the years. The divine hierarchy has been plied with a drum roll of prayers. Do you feel the tragic humor of all this supplication for light, for oil in the lamps? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is clear language, dynamic, direct, and it puts an end to all quibbling. Let your light shine. When and where? In a dark world for the man who needs light. prove God by your action in a world in which building is necessary, in which your spontaneous action is urgently needed. 14. Are you able to let your light shine? Or is this applicable to you, man, be someone? But he could not, for he was no one. But you are able to do it. We do not wait for peace. We do not wait for tomorrow. We create the new morning. We let our lights shine out into the night, even though time does not pass by unnoticed as we live in nature. Although our bones rattle and our hearts become sluggish and tired, we lift up our heads and smile, for we see the light that seizes us. We radiate it in the night. We pour out this light which burns so irresistibly within us, over world and mankind, and we create the morning. We speak these radiant, fiery words, "New sun, arise." And the new sun arises, it ascends into the firmament. We join together, so that through our work, our radiant striving, men will glorify the Father who is in heaven.